In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
I know I have bitterly disappointed all of you. I'm embarrassed that I have put you in this position. For all that I have done, I am so sorry. I have a lot to atone for.
Faith does one's own religion, but must respect all major world religious traditions.
Islam is and must be an important part of the solution in confronting violent extremism.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Well, when I was a kid, it was most afternoons when it wasn't bitterly cold outside, riding the bike, climbing trees, doing all those things that now seem so quaint and so out of character for American teenage boys, young boys, climbing trees. I don't know of many teenage boys that have climbed a tree. They played a lot of video games. They sit in front of the screen. They know how to manipulate the game console. They know how to work all the electronic devices that bring them entertainment, sometimes many hours a day. What's happened? Is this the new normal? Boys that stay inside, often just in their rooms, staring at screens of one kind or another for hours on end, instead of outside playing, doing what boys do. What's the effect? We're going to talk about the influence of entertainment media on boys. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon, February the 19th. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to begin today's program talking with Colleen Carol Campbell about the influence of entertainment media on boys, and then in about 10 minutes, we'll discuss the divorce proceedings that have been filed by televangelist Benny Hinn's wife. We'll wrap up today's program playing Soundbite of the Week. Four sound bites for you. You get to pick which one is Soundbite of the Week. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can always Twitter us at @issuesetc. Colleen Carol Campbell is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center. She's author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Hi, Colleen.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When I was growing up, it was bike riding, running around outside, an awful lot of that. I mean, that's what boys did in those days. You've written recently about boys in the new media. And how would you respond? Someone says, look, boys are just entertaining themselves differently today than they did when we were growing up. Now they sit in front of computer screens, television screens, and game consoles. In my day, it was just running around playing outside.
Well, the problem with that is they still have the same physical needs for activity and outlet for all that exuberant boyish energy that they always did. And that's not being, I think, directed in a healthy way. Of course, the other problem is that kids weren't really meant to sit in front of computer screens for 8 hours a day. And we certainly found with this new study from the Kaiser Family Foundation that came out a couple weeks ago, it's pretty frightening if you really look at it. They found that American children ages 8 to 18 now spend an average, this is the average, of nearly 8 hours a day every day, this is Saturdays and Sundays included, using entertainment media defined as televisions, computers, smartphones. And this doesn't include the time that they spend texting or talking on the phone. So we're talking about a massive amount of time that today's kids are spending basically sitting somewhere staring at a screen. And boys consume even more of this media than girls. mostly because they're so into video games, but they basically devote more time to every form of electronic media than girls. One of the few media activities they don't do as much as girls is reading, and it's pretty sad if you see the minutes devoted to reading in the average child's day. For girls, it's 43 minutes. For boys, it's 33. So this is a massive amount of time spent sitting, spent staring at screens, and also spent, in many cases, living in a virtual reality and not really having as much time for face-to-face interaction and, of course, for good, healthy exercise and exploring the great outdoors than boys did even just a few years ago.
So what are the effects of this shift in how boys are spending their leisure time?
Well, we've seen a lot of studies that connect too much screen time, and by that I mean both television screen and computer screen, and some of these studies focus on one or the other. But among the links that they've found, researchers have found, include more aggression, more depression, more promiscuity, that is, getting into sexual activity earlier, younger ages and with more partners, more obesity, and also poorer grades. Now, sometimes it's hard to establish a cause and effect link with these things, but we do see studies showing that kids who spend a lot of time sitting in front of the tube, in the case of TV, or surfing the net, tend to have more of these problems. And so, you know, I think it's pretty clear to most parents that there's a connection here that is cause and effect in a lot of their children's lives. So that's some of the downside, but I think a lot of times when we think about this issue, we tend to focus a lot on the content of what our kids are looking at. Well, if he's looking at a safe website, if she's watching a TV show during the so-called family hour, then it's okay. But what we need to be thinking about more is the time that they're spending online or in front of the TV or texting or chatting on their cell phones, chatting on their cell phones being, of course, a better thing probably than just sitting there surfing the net, possibly. But we need to spend some time thinking about the amount of time they spend living again in this sort of virtual reality, and that's especially true with boys and video games.
Could part of it be that, I mean, we're not always talking about kids that need a babysitter, I mean, of that age, but could part of it be that, like television of old, the computer screen, the game, makes a pretty good babysitter if the parent has other things to do?
That's absolutely part of it. And I think even though that's not the case perhaps with boys 11 to 14, which is the age when both boys and girls suddenly just their media use ramps up, really skyrockets between 11 and 14. But the reason that some of that is happening is, yes, because parents have been using electronic media as electronic babysitters from a young age. And so these habits are already ingrained. And so there's kind of a pattern that's already set from a young age, from the beginning with the Baby Einstein videos and all the way up. And, of course, children also imitate what their parents do. We can talk about, you know, getting off the couch and getting out there, not spending so much time on the computer, but if they see us doing the same thing, it's kind of hard for us to really send that message in an effective way. So, yes, I think a lot of times we see electronic media, especially for boys, as a way of taming all that crazy energy, a way of keeping them under control. I recently saw a story in the New York Times where school districts are now putting wireless on their buses because it helps boys just sit still. But as the reporter walked around the bus and saw what some of the boys were looking at online, you know, it might not be the way parents want their kids to be spending their morning commute to school. But again, a lot of it is for the convenience of adults. And especially when it comes to boys, it is more convenient if boys sit still and quietly play a video game for 4 hours than demand to bounce around outside. Unfortunately, it's not as good for boys if they spend all that time living in a virtual reality.
The media are here to stay. There's no doubt about that. And if kind of the rules of these things are observed, those natural laws that seem to be in play with the technology, it just continues to expand exponentially. And so the challenge isn't going away. What's your best advice, Colleen?
I think the best thing that parents can do is take seriously our role to regulate this. The Kaiser study found that only about 1 in 3 kids say that their parents set rules about how much time they can spend, whether it's watching TV, playing video games, or spending time on the computer. That's fewer than 1/3 of American kids have rules about this. But the study also found, on a hopeful note, that those children whose parents did set rules, any kind of rules, actually consumed nearly 3 hours less media per day than the kids who had no rules. In other words, rules matter. Restrictions actually do have an effect, and our kids are watching us to see what's acceptable, what's an appropriate amount of time to spend online or playing video games, and what our priorities are. And they still listen to us, and I think that's the problem. A lot of our pop culture has convinced us that parents can't do anything about this. This is just the new normal. It's not normal unless we say it is, and it doesn't have to be the kind of boyhood our boys have and the kind of childhood all of our children have unless we decide we're going to acquiesce and just kind of go with the flow on this one. We don't have to go with the flow. We can change this. And so parents still have an effect, and it can just begin with setting some boundaries and some rules and then abiding by some of those ourselves in the way we spend our days.
Colleen, before we let you go, there's a front page story in Thursday, St. Louis Post-Dispatch, about the need for moms to be hot. June Cleaver, nope, today's mom is hot. Many embrace sexy trends, but some worry about added pressure. What do you make of this?
Well, I think it is something we've been seeing for a number of years, so-called mommy job in plastic surgery, where women try to sort of regain this idyllic figure, you know, 2 weeks postpartum. There's a lot of pressure in our culture to sexualize, you know, even young girls, and I think some of that has spread over to moms, a sense that it's not good enough to be a happy, healthy mom. You have to also be a sex pot and a sex symbol. And I think it's a lot of pressure on women, but it's sad because a lot of this pressure is coming from women themselves. They're wanting to live up to this ideal. And I think it's really, again, another commentary on how little we value motherhood, that we think somehow it's not good enough to simply be a healthy, happy, and attractive mom. You have to be Heidi Klum, you know, with babies attached. And it's just, you know, I think it's kind of sad and kind of superficial, and I think a lot of the moms that fixate on these things are missing out time and energy they could be devoting to something a little more rewarding, including their children's spiritual development, as opposed to fixating on their children's and their own physical appearance.
Colleen Carol Campbell is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can check out her columns under the Listen On Demand page of issuesetc.org. Thanks, Colleen.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
All right, when we come back from this break, the hour continues this Friday afternoon, February the 19th. We're going to talk a little bit about divorce proceedings filed for by the wife of televangelist Benny Hinn. They've been married for 30 years. She's citing irreconcilable differences. Pastor Dick Fisher will join us, co-author of the book, The Confusing World of Benny Hinn. Then it's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We have four pieces of Issues Etc. audio lined up, ready to play for you. And then all you need to do is vote for Soundbite of the Week. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Twitter us at issuesetc. Benny Hinn's impending divorce after this. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Stephen Parks, on why your congregation should join the Issues Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, And I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc., the Issues Etc. 300.